We're up to John chapter 6, and if you did some homework last, to study the relationship between the Father and Son, particularly the Father and Son being brought out to bear. We know there's Father, Son, and Spirit, but in particular in chapter 5, Father and Son being brought out, their relationship, and some awesome things to glean from that, because your relationships will struggle based on your understanding of the Father and Son relationship in chapter 5. Because that's, we're made in His image, and our relationships are reflections of that. And so some of the things you were sent home with is to take a look at some of the other aspects and elements of the relationship with each other. The things we did look at was their submission towards each other, the Father giving to the Son, and the Son receiving that, and then submitting it back to the Father, in particular judgment. The Son just doing what He sees the Father doing. Not what would the Father do, but what is the Father doing? So that's that present tense kind of thing. Very important element for us too. The submitting to one another is where relationships flourish. In the church, in the family, in our communities. Submitting one to another. When we sin against each other, that's when submission's not happening. We stop submitting one to another. Stop respecting each other. Stop giving someone respect. Stop submitting one to another, then sin starts happening. And so that's the basic idea of sin. We get the picture that sin is this long list of things. Smoking is a sin, or is a smoking filtered cigarettes a sin, or smoking weed a sin. And we get this big list, or if I just do one beer or two beers, you know, it's three beers a sin. That's not what sin is. Sin is when we stop submitting to God. And the result of submitting, not submitting to God and following Him anymore is those things. We start doing all those things on the list. But those aren't really the issue. The issue is way back here, before all of those things happen, as we stop believing in God, we stop submitting to God. Our relationship with God is broken, and that's the idea of sin. There's a relationship broken. So really important, submitting one to another. So I hope you did some personal study on that between the Father and Son, because there's other elements that are brought out there. The Father honoring the Son honoring the Father. That's a type of submission as well, that they're honoring, giving glory one to another, allowing them to both to be glorified independently, uniquely, but glorifying each other. So very powerful relationship. There is none like it in this universe, outside of the universe. God, the Father, and the Spirit, a powerful, unified God that if you were describing any other way than one God, you would be a liar. You would be inaccurate. It would be a false term. He is one God. And it's a perfect relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit. No problem in understanding it that way. All right, picking up in chapter 6, after these things, awesome things, just coming out of that tea, we called it the integrity of Jesus. All your blood red page there of Jesus bleeding out the truth for our benefit. Now, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him, a lot of people, because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. He healed a lot of sick people. We're going to read right through verse 14 here, and this is another work that Jesus did that causes us to learn about Him, discover Him, and know Him better, and believe on Him. Is the multiplication of the fish and loaves. And when Jesus went up into the mountain, and there He sat with His disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, a lot of people, here comes the multitude, hear them shuffling their feet, He says unto Philip, one of the disciples, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Where shall we get food? Where's the closest Walmart? Well, there wasn't one back then. And this He said to prove him, prove Philip, for He Himself knew what He would do. Jesus already knew what He did, was going to do, but He was proving, testing Philip. Philip answered Him in verse 7, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. That's over a year's wage. Imagine saving up a year and blowing it all in one day just to feed people. But that's what Philip is saying here. A whole lot of money isn't enough to feed all these people, even a little. It says, even that they may take a little. So he's thinking small. God is thinking big here. Verse 8, one of His disciples, Andrew, another disciple. Now we got two mentioned here in the story, Philip and Andrew. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, the famous Peter, said unto him, there's a lad here, a small boy. There's an Asher here. There's a Grant here. Well, maybe not that young Grant. Maybe it was Asher a little older. Maybe even James' age. There's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? So another disciple who wasn't even asked the question chimes in. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in that place. So the men sat down, in number of about 5,000. So if that's just men being spoken of there, they bring in the women and children, that also would be along there, and probably, there's a lot of people here. This is thousands of people. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples. He gave it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were down, sitting down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they wanted. And they were filled. That word is, they were, you ate good. No. He said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Someone read today, I think it was Maddie, read from Peter, that God wishes none, his will is that none should perish. And there you see that little glimpse of that. Gathering up those fragments, that nothing be lost, that right to the last moment of time possible, that the work of ministry is going to go on until God sends that fervent heat out, until it's all done and wraps up, closes the curtain on this creation and creates new. We know that he is a God that wills none should perish. And here we see that. Gather up those pieces over there. There's a couple of pieces of fish still left over there. If you ever eat at my house and you leave something on the plate, I'll probably eat it. Just to let you know. So don't be alarmed. Some people have been alarmed when they come over and they see me do that. Then they talk to Mindy later. Did you know your dad did that? Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above them that had eaten. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're awesome. Just love the story. Just love it. Praise God. Gretchen, you were reading something about the feast, and Maddie was talking about the feast today, this morning, and you were talking about the dancing this morning, the one you were reading, or was it with the tambourines? And
yes.
Yeah, it just, God's into that, man. He's into a lively fellowship. He's, that his house would be filled, and there would be rejoicing in his house, and there would be food in his house, spiritual food, and not to the neglect of physical food either, you know. And there's an important part of that, connecting as brothers and sisters and eating together. We do that around when we take communion with each other, but also when we have dishes to pass, and we want to encourage more of that. That's definitely it's right in the groove of God, and it's a groovy thing. I love it. And I really love that aspect of God, that he's into, you know, just hope. You know, there's starving people in Africa, only eat 3 peas and, you know, this tiny, tiny thing. No, it's not eat, man, eat. Manja. Last weekend we were visiting with some of my family, and that's a big thing with Italians is, you know, my Aunt Nina comes out, and she looks at this huge table of all kinds of food, and she says, no, not enough food. She just shakes her head. And, you know, just there's that desire to bless. There's the desire for that rejoicing and that your joy would be full. So there's a beauty in that, in this story as well. And there's an aspect of God that we're learning. Behold, he comes in the volume of the book. It speaks of him. And we see something of God here that's really cool. Thank you, Jesus. So we're kind of in the scripture moving from the flow of water. John has been a lot about water. You know, begins with baptism. John the Baptist in the desert saying, repent! And baptizing people. And Jesus being one of those that would get baptized. And then Jesus going to turn the water into wine. And then he meets the woman at the well. And says, I'm thirsty, and talks about living water, and she drops her water pot and goes and tells things. So the flow of water here is now changing into food. That's cool. I dig that. So He is the food from heaven, or the bread from heaven. So one of the I ams of Jesus is that he is the bread of heaven. Someone read that today. We got a lot of notes today. That was one of the things that was brought out. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So the flow of water, now food, and that's cool. Verse 14, when people witness this miracle, obviously they have never seen anything like this. That's what a miracle is. This is not normal, not natural. It's outside of that. Something outside of nature had to cause this, and God caused this miracle to happen. The division of bread and loaves. And it all started with a young man's fish and his bread that he had, basically his lunch that he brought. Can you imagine being that boy and being blessed in that way and to be part of what God did that day? And isn't it God's heart to do that? And it says that he created everything that's around us. It says he created everything around us, and then he rested from creating. He created things that just by speaking them into existence. So he could have spoke the fish and the bread and whatever else he wanted to at that time and served everybody that way. But in his rest, we see something different now. He created everything that's around us in 6 days, six literal days. Everything around us, even everything that's above us, the sun and the moon, the solar eclipse, all those things that are happening. All that stuff was created by God within 6 days, even down to the microscopic DNA, everything God created, all of that. And then he rested from his work, his creative work, and he set everything in motion. He set the wheels in motion that dogs would reproduce with dogs, cats would reproduce with cats, and sunflowers with sunflowers, and so forth. And he set all that creative force and energy in motion. And you see him stepping into that, still in that rest, not creating out of thin air, but he is taking something, fish and loaves, and he's making that to be, he's expanding from that. So that is very cool to think about it that way. That God is now, instead of just like bringing things out of thin air, he wants to take what you have. He wants to take the little things in your life, your little faith, your little whatever it is, your little act of kindness, and he wants to multiply that. So just submit those things unto him. So important. That little boy could have been, no. You know how little boys can be. Now, this is mine. I carried it all this way. And carried it, you know, I was the smart kid. You know, you guys are dummies. You didn't bring your lunch, you know, too bad for you. Poo-poo to you. But no, he didn't do that. He was willingly gave it to Jesus. So you'll get to meet this kid someday. He'll have the name tag on in heaven. Said that I'm the kid that brought my lunch to Jesus. And you give him a high five in heaven. That'll be awesome. But that is, again, the nature of God. Little as much when God is in it, as one of the songs. Don't despise when you have a little bit. The widow's mite. That's where God is at. He operates in those things. He operates in the mustard seed. Mark showed a film, on last Wednesday night for the guys over here. That was cool. They'll use this side of the room for that. And he made a nice screen. Appreciated that. And getting that idea that God has made a huge universe. And not to make us feel small, but that we are small. And that God would take something, take small things, and he does beautiful things. He does amazing things with them. And that's the nature of God. So we look for him in the small things. And sometimes our focus could be on the big event and the big production. And then, you know, back in the backstage or off on the side or in the parking lot, somebody's getting healed. Somebody's getting prayed for. And the Spirit of God is moving mightily behind all the lights and all the glamour. So look for God in the small things. Don't miss him, I should say. He's in the big things too, but don't miss him in the small things. And here we see that in the story of the boy giving his lunch and giving that to God and allowing God to use that and blessing so many people to the overflow. Wow, that's the God we love. So let's look at some of these verses that we kind of went over quickly. One thing that the great multitude following him and him healing all that were diseased, healing all these diseased people, is this the picture of the human race and the effects of sin. as the Jews are celebrating this Thursday, the new year, they're also celebrating a birthday. Whose birthday? They're celebrating Adam and Eve's birthday. I didn't know that till recently. They actually celebrate Adam and Eve's birthday. Somebody does. The Jewish people do in their new year. They recognize Adam and Eve's birth, the creation of mankind through them. Eve was named that because she's the daughter of all mankind. Everything came through her. So it started with one couple in the garden. It was Adam and Eve, a man and a woman. And every marriage after that, God would like to follow suit. A man and a woman. And he designed them physically to work together that way and to bear children. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So that celebration's coming up. But in that event of Adam and Eve, we also recognize that there was sin that happened in that first couple. And in that disobedience they had, sin entered into the world. That same disobedient spirit, that same spirit that resists God and doesn't want to submit to God anymore, that creates walls between God, that spirit of sin has entered into the human race and has affected all of us. And there's one buzzing me right now. So we're all affected, impacted by sin in this world. The great multitude, that just gives me that picture of humanity and the issues we have. We all have issues. If you think you're alone in the fact that you have some kind of weird issue, you are not. You are not alone. I was born with all kinds of problems, and then there was problems I inherited along the way. So it doesn't matter if you were born with issues or there are issues you picked up along the way. There's still sin, there's still problems, there's still disease of humanity. Jesus wants to heal you. That's the bottom line. Jesus wants to heal you. So don't feel isolated, feel included, feel called, feel touched by the Lord this morning. So that's just a little something in verse 2 there. In verse 3 there, I like because Jesus is a mountain man. Mountain man. We see him often going off into the mountain. That's a special place for Jesus. That's why I call him a mountain man. He would go to the mountain to be alone. He would go to the mountain to have a special time with his disciples and do that Sermon on the Mount and speak to them a life, speak to them the truth. So that's really cool. We also know that Jerusalem itself is a holy city. It's Mount Zion. It's his holy city, Jerusalem, is on a mountain itself. The mountain that he died on, Golgotha, they crucified him. He's going to return and come back on a mountain, the Mount of Olives. When his foot touches that mountain, it's going to split in half. So that's going to be a pretty cool thing to say. So he is a mountain man, just a cute little thing there from verse 3. Jesus in the mountains. Verse 4, in the Passover, the feast of the Jews was near. Passover, if you don't know what that means, Gretchen mentioned Jewish feast. That's feast of the Bible that God has ordained. And he doesn't mandate them for us. That doesn't mean we're required to do these things anymore. We study them. We glean from them. They're really awesome things. But the Passover was a very special event. And it represented God delivering his people out of Egypt. So I just want to go over these things without gleaning some truth out of these. But Passover is very important because each one of us needs to go through this particular experience of having the angel of death pass over us and have the blood of Jesus applied to us. What does that mean? It sounds scary. That means that God loves you and he died for you. And his blood is required to purge your sins. There is no forgiveness of your sins without his death. You're standing there guilty before God, before a holy God, and that's not going to be a pleasant experience. So we need this Passover. We need this blood applied to us, and we simply do that by believing that his death was for me, and it covers my sin. Believing in my heart that Jesus died for me. He died for that sin. He died for that sin, that weird sin that I got. He died for that other one. He died for my this other weirdness I have. He died for that thing that I said that hurt somebody. He died for this thing. He died for me. I believe that. And as I confess that, it completes that faith. And I am purged. I am cleansed and I become new. All things become new. And that's a daily experience. Our salvation isn't just a one-time event. It begins with a one-time event, but it extends out the rest of our life. We're being carried into the shores of heaven by Jesus Christ. He doesn't come out and high-five us in the waters as we're drowning. He goes out and rescues us and brings us all the way to the shores of heaven. We continue to yield our life to Him and submitting to Him. The worst thing you might encounter is somebody drowning as you with a lot of energy and strength still. So sometimes God lets us sink a little bit and wear ourselves out and until we're done fighting and then just bring us in. And that's our experience all the way too, is yielding to the Lord. Yielding to the Lord, sometimes kicking against Him, but His gentle nature is compassionate, slow to anger, and He will bring us in. He is faithful. The Passover, praise God. Let's just take a look at Psalm 51. You guys had a lot of excitement. That's a good energy this morning and sharing about the Lord. I really love that. Psalm 51 talks about this purging that Teresa needs to have, that Gretchen needs to have, that Dallas needs to have, that James and Seth need to have, that I especially need to have. If you feel like you don't need to have this, just live, just keep breathing, and you'll discover at some point in your life, you come to a place of brokenness. It's like, there's something wrong. I need a Savior. I need you, Jesus. Have mercy upon me. You come to Psalm 51. This is Area 51 for the human race. This is the strange place. It's kind of a dreamy place. It's kind of a mysterious place of finding Christ. But in reality, God has found you. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. This is you dealing with God in your heart as He's shedding abroad in your heart conviction. He's shedding abroad in your heart love and grace and truth. Verse 2, come on, get in here with me. Get in the bathtub, get in the shower with me. That's not weird. This is being cleansed as a bride under the blood of Jesus Christ. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Come on, folks. Come on, say it with me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. Thank you. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only. No, it's not my brother and sister and in the government and whatever, the policeman and my teacher. You know, ultimately it's against you, God, that I've sinned. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thy desires truth in my inward parts, and in my hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Such an important verse. There is nobody in here that's white. There is nobody in here white that the white is being talked about here. It's not about skin color. This is a white about having a soul that is clean, that does not have the mars or the inheritance of sin from all the way back in Adam and Eve. It's broken. And you are clean. You're made new. You're born again, a fresh new. New eyes, new ears, everything. A new creation. Purge me with hyssop. That's just it's like a sponge type thing. I grow it in my garden, and it was to dip the blood and to sprinkle it on the doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over. God wants to pass over that judgment right over you because you have the blood of Christ on you. Man, I was praying this yesterday because I was just being antagonized by something, by a thought. It wasn't perversion or anything like that. It was just like trouble. It was just like worry and concern. And it was like, God, this isn't right. I spent 2 hours of my morning just on a squirrel cage worrying about this thing. And I went right to this verse. And it's like, purge me with hyssop, God. This has got to go. I know it's not of you to just spin out on these things. Purge it. Take it, God. And I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And by golly, I was. By golly, I was at peace. I was at peace with God. He is real. There's a power socket of His grace just waiting for you to plug into. Don't spend your day spinning out in anger. Don't spend your day doing something that is wrong and going down a path of darkness. Spend your day plugged into the power receptacle of His grace and listen to His voice. He wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you. Make me to hear joy, it says in verse 8 there, still in Psalm 51. Make me to hear joy and gladness. In the bones which thou hast broken, may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This was part two of yesterday. Renew a right spirit within me. I know whatever's going on right now is not of you. You haven't given me a spirit of fear. You haven't given me a spirit of uncertainty, but one of sound mind, of power and love. Folks, we need to stand on the solid ground. Don't stand on sand. Your friends are offering you a life of sand. They're trying to lead you on a path that is shaky. It's not funny. It's not fun. It's a lie. It's deceit. God is telling you there's firm ground to stand on. And there's rejoicing in that. There's joy unspeakable. It's all a lie. All the stuff that I've been through in my life with the lies with alcohol and the lies with parties and all that stuff. You wake up barfing in the morning. It's a downright lie. Feeling like an idiot because of the things I said. That's a lie. That's not joy. I want to rejoice in the Lord. Renew a right spirit within me, God. I want to have your spirit within me. I don't want the curse anymore. I don't need the approval of my friends partying they can go do. Go on your own course. I'm going to follow the Lord. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That desire as a deer pants for the water just to be in the presence of God now. That's my desire. That's what everything ounce of my body craves for is the presence of God. Folks, He's put eternity in your heart. I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're not a cow. You're just happy to give milk. You're not a beaver that you're happy to build dams. You're not a bee that you're just happy to make some honey or make some money. You've been created as a being, as in the image of God. And in that image, there's something called eternity already in you. There's this mystery of eternity that He's placed in your heart. That you will not be satisfied with anything, any food or anything in this world until God is sitting squarely in there. Until you're connected and in fellowship with God, you will not be satisfied. You will be going from one thing to the next to try to find something. Hell is like that. It's groping in darkness, trying to get a little drop of water, trying to get a little satisfaction. End it right now. End that hell right now. And reach for heaven. Reach for the gospel and say, I want it. Jesus, shine on my heart. I want it now. I want this joy that's unspeakable. I want this rejoicing, Lord God, that no matter what the circumstances are, that I have this joy and peace inside of me. I want to follow you, Lord God, all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We'll finish here. We're just talking about Philip a little bit. Do you guys recall Philip from way back in chapter 1 there? All he needed to hear was follow me. Does anybody remember the testimony of Chuck Jr. that I shared that morning? I didn't want to go to a family reunion. Man, sometimes who thinks family events sometimes are lame? My wife does it. Okay, it's all right. I'm with you. Little things. Look for God. So I get there, and there is this guy in a wheelchair, and I feel drawn to him. Yeah, I'm going to give him something. Lord, you know, I'm starting to come out of my brattiness. I don't want to be here. I'm just sitting around and eat beans. And there's a dude in a wheelchair up on there, and I keep looking over. Okay. Okay, Pastor, go encourage that guy. Man, he blew my socks right off. he told me a testimony about him being in an accident. He's 20 years old, maybe somewhere around there. He gets in an accident. He's a quad. He can't move. You got somebody to spoon feed you. There you are. Put yourself in his position. You're partying. Everything's great. Ha ha. It's all great. Life is fun. And then it's over. You can't even feed yourself. And you're wondering what is going on. Months and weeks just doing that little therapy. Somebody comes in and works your arms and works your legs. Feeds you. He finally gets home and he's in a wheelchair. He's able to be home and be taken care of there. And months go by. And he gets back into the booze again. And just, I don't know where to turn. So he's going back into that. And then he comes to that breaking place. He comes to that sweet place. He comes to Area 51. It's a mystery. It's a dream. It's powerful. God met him. He said, follow me. Two simple words he heard. He said, Paul, it was clearer than anything, any word, any man has spoken to me, anybody's ever told me. It wasn't even audible, but it was clear. It just resounded inside of me like a bell ringing. Follow me. And his life hasn't been the same ever since. He's been following Jesus. Even his body is now starting to begin to walk. They said he couldn't. And he's starting to get there. He's starting to make moves. So if you're down in his church down there, at the end of service, you might see this guy kind of slowly coming up to you, putting his hand over you and praying, God, man, that's awesome. That is awesome. That is just two words. Follow me. Philip has that testimony. You'll see him someday in heaven if you have the blood of Jesus on you. You can high five Philip. Says, cool, man. I know your testimony. Follow me. Follow me. That's a cool testimony. Only two words he needed. He didn't need to be seen in a tree. He didn't need prophecy. He didn't see the miracle. All he heard was follow me, and he was there for it. That's the truth. That's where faith is. You hear the word of God and you respond to it. You act upon it. That's where true faith is. That's where we need to be. Others will follow Jesus because of things they saw. Others will follow Jesus because there's bread there. There was some type of thing, a need met. Well, I'm going to church because I want to meet a girl. I'm going to church because, you know, I need some money. I'm going to church because I want to get connected with somebody, you know, maybe to go fishing with me or do something with me or, you know, whatever it is. Others follow Jesus for other reasons. We need to be followers of Jesus because he spoke to us, follow me. He responded in faith. We need to respond in faith. We need to hear his word this morning. I'm going to finish with the voice of truth. I'm going to read the lyrics to you. You need to respond to the voice of truth speaking to you. This is Casting Crowns. You can listen to it when you go home. Look up Casting Crowns, Voice of Truth. It's an older song now. It's getting older. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. Area 51. And he's holding out his hand, but the waves are calling out my name. And they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. This is coming next week. We're still here. Do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of 1,000 warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they've had the strength to stand, but the giant's calling out my name. And he laughs at me, reminding me of the times I've tried and failed. The giant keeps telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the stone was just the right size to put the giant to the ground. And the waves, they don't seem so high from on top of them looking down. I will soar with the wings of eagles when I stop and listen to the sound of Jesus singing over me. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Amen.